Land lay ahead, low and blue in the afternoon like a bank of mist. "Is it Celador?" Arran asked, and his heart beat fast, but the mage answered, "Ob, I think, or Jessage. We're not halfway yet, lad." That night they sailed the straits between those two islands. They saw no lights, but there was a reek of smoke in the air, so heavy that their lungs grew raw with breathing it. When day came and they looked back, the eastern isle, Jessage, looked burnt and black as far as they could see inland from the shore, and a haze hung blue and dull above it. "They have burnt the fields," Arran said.
"Aye, and the villages. I've smelled that smoke before."
"Are they savages here in the west?" Sparrowhawk shook his head.
"Farmers. Townsmen."
Arran stared at the black ruin of the land, the withered trees of orchards against the sky, and his face was hard. "What harm have the trees done them?" he said. "Must they punish the grass for their own faults? Men are savages who would set a land afire because they have a quarrel with other men."
"They have no guidance," Sparrowhawk said.
"No king.
And the kingly men and the wizardly men, all turned aside and drawn into their minds, are hunting the door through death. So it was in the south, and so I guess it to be here."
"And this is one man's doing? The one the dragon spoke of? It seems not possible."
"Why not? If there were a king of the isles, he would be one man, and he would rule. One man may as easily destroy as govern, be king or anti-king." There was again that note in his voice of mockery or challenge which roused Arran's temper. "A king has servants, soldiers, messengers, lieutenants. He governs through his servants. Where are the servants of this anti-king?"
"In our minds, lad. In our minds. The traitor, the self. The self that cries, 'I want to live. Let the world burn so long as I can live.' The little traitor soul in us, in the dark, like the worm in the apple. He talks to all of us, but only some understand him. The wizards and the sorcerers, the singers, the makers, and the heroes, the ones who seek to be themselves. To be one's self is a rare thing and a great one. To be one's self forever. Is that not better still?"
Arran looked straight at Sparrowhawk.
"You would say to me that it is not better. But tell me why. I was a child when I began this voyage, a child who did not believe in death. You think me a child still, but I have learnt something. Not much, maybe, but something. I have learnt that death exists, and that I am to die. But I have not learnt to rejoice in the knowledge, to welcome my death or yours. If I love life, shall I not hate the end of it? Why should I not desire immortality?"
Arran's fencing master in Barilla had been a man of about 60, short and bald and cold. Arran had disliked him for years, though he knew him to be an extraordinary swordsman. But one day in practice he had caught his master off guard and nearly disarmed him, and he had never forgotten the incredulous, incongruous happiness that had suddenly gleamed in the master's cold face, the hope, the joy. An equal. At last, an equal. From that moment on, the fencing master had trained him mercilessly, and whenever they fenced, that same relentless smile would be on the old man's face, brightening as Arran pressed him harder. And it was on Sparrowhawk's face now, the flash of steel in sunlight. Why should you not desire immortality? How should you not? Every soul desires it, and its health is in the strength of its desire. But be careful. You are one who might achieve your desire. And then this. A false king ruling. The arts of man forgotten. The singer tongueless. The eye blind. This blight and plague on the lands. This sore we seek to heal. There are two, Aaron. Two that make one. The world and the shadow. The light and the dark. The two poles of the balance. Life rises out of death. Death rises out of life. In being opposite, they yearn to each other. They give birth to each other and are forever reborn. And with them all is reborn. The flower of the apple tree, the light of the stars. In life is death. In death is rebirth. What then is life without death? Life unchanging, everlasting, eternal. What is it but death? Death without rebirth. If so much hinges on it then, my lord, if one man's life might wreck the balance of the whole, surely it is not possible. It would not be allowed. He halted, confused. Who allowed?